Amen. We're going to have even more fun today. So let me begin with a prayer. Invite our Lord to join us, okay? So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we just praise you. Praise you bring your beautiful children, your son and daughters here into this wonderful place, Father. We just praise you for what you have done. We praise you for the beautiful lives that have been saved just a few hours ago. We celebrate with you, Lord Jesus. Father, we know greater things than these will be done, and you will do it today, in this minute, in this hour. Oh, Father, we are only child. In our weakness, you are strong, Father. We're just inviting you, our Lord Jesus, and all the power has been given to you in heaven and earth and under earth to be given to us today, in the next hour. Speak to us. Set captive free and bind up the wounded hearted. Resurrect us in unity with you to sit in the heavenly realm with our Lord Jesus. In your sweet, awesome name we pray. Amen. So, there'll be three parts of this talk. One part is about what is the root of gendercide, what is happening in China, and what God is doing to receive glory by rescuing lives. And the second part would be what God's doing to our own individual lives to heal the inner child inside us. And the third part is what God wants to do with each one of you. We have a facilitation from those prayer ministers who helped heal me, and also healed our other team members. So, how does that sound? Woohoo! Good! So we have a little interesting ride. Yes! Okay. Amen. So, when we take on gendercide, we see, in the Bible, it's very clearly written back to what was God intended to do and how the curse had let the entire humanity fall. So at the very beginning, when God created man and woman, he blessed them. He said, and Adam said, "This is last the bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. For this reason, a man will leave." I think that's the second one. Is the God, God said, "Will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." But that was the original blessing. That's how man-woman relationship ought to be. That's how the world will be multiplied and increasing number, and will achieve significance, provision, and security and power. But however, because Adam and Eve sinned, and the curse was given to the entire humanity, the first two curses are the enmity be put in between the serpent and also the woman. And the second is the war put between man and woman, and the woman was made to have desire for the man, and the husband the man would rule over her. So that is a curse that's being made in the Bible. But when we start taking on China's genocide, one-child policy, we've seen everywhere it manifested in real life. And so today, because of China favor man over woman, so one of every six baby girls will be aborted before they ever make to life. So therefore, 37 million men would have no wives to marry. And then 500 women commit suicides every day. So there's a massive sex trafficking and commercial sex industry under China's one-child policy. Again, it's very totally defiles God's command, multiply, increasing number. And it was brutally enforced in China since 1980. There were over 400 million babies were killed, and each day there over 35,000 forced and coerced abortions taking place. And for any woman who get pregnant before marriage or receive a marriage certificate, their only choice is abort that baby. So what God's doing, he sees this, hear the cries, and he wake me up and restore me and let us send us out. We were able to team out with other missionaries who's already served in China for 17 years. They come back, connect with us. When they go back, bring the truth of life. It's, that little fetus inside our womb is already alive. And that brought entire church congregation into repentance because we were deceived into believing abortion is only about taking a piece of tissue out of our body. We did not realize it was murdering God's babies. And so when the repentance was made, forgiveness was given and received, and God did something really, really amazing. I'm going to show you a very graphic image, so just knowing that it's going to be very graphic. This is a little baby who is 7 months old, and you can see the size is almost full grown, and totally survival. And this mother from Jemmy was found out in a hiding place and was dragged out into forced abortion. Pillowcase would cover over her face, and she was forced to press a fingerprint on the consent form, and then the needles inject into her belly to the baby's skull with poison. The baby came out after several days of painful contraction, and Feng Jianmei was not given any anesthesia. That is a brutal reality, what had been happening in China for 30-plus years. And because repentance was made, and God just... That's another woman who was going through a similar situation. But God was able to make the government people even change their heart after hundreds, millions of people start protesting on the internet, blogging, the international media. So they announced that no more forced abortions in late stage. So hallelujah to God. He is good. He sees the cries. Once we make peace with God, He's coming down from heaven to rescue His own children. The rest of other few stories just show individually how God had rescued each other victims. So this woman's name is Nie Li Na, and she was 5 months pregnant, and she was detained somewhere in China. All we had for schedule for forced abortion, all we had was an email sent to us. So, you know, as I'm just like you, stay here in America, does not know what to do, what can we do, but we have one amazing, awesome power authority God given to us, that is our prayer. We send up urgent prayer requests for her, and I just start praying in front of my daughter's soccer field. And 48 hours later, and she was set free. Because all of a sudden, the official's heart was filled with terror. They don't know what it is. They just couldn't put their name next to the forced abortion paper. And the next thing we knew, she is set free with her baby. Hallelujah! God is good. God is awesomely good. Even we don't know where she is, where her phone number, where she lives, where's the place, God knows. If we pray, God moving heavens and earth to make His will fulfilled on our earth, in our lives. This is another great success. How many of you know this man or read about the story about this man? His name is, just give my mind. What? Chen Guancheng, thank you. We had a lot going on today. And so he was a courageous man who self-taught to be a lawyer, taking on 140,000 women's case to fight against the government for forced abortion, which took place only in 2005 in one county in China. And he was thrown to prison for 4 years and afterwards house arrest for a couple years. They beat him mercilessly. But through prayer and fasting, he escaped his house arrest at midnight. Just imagine that a blind man escaped with high security and went into U.S. Embassy. The U.S. Embassy chickened out and kicked him back out to the China authority. So what do? We pray. This time we pray in Congress in front of this, you know, C-SPAN. And God heard that prayer again. 4 days later, he was set free on the plane to NYU. And he and his wife, his children are here today because God is good. Amen. This is a third story in a case. This woman, she's one of the baby shower program recipients, and she did not want to come to the Lord, and she had terrible lung diseases, was incurable, and she gave her life to Jesus, and we prayed, our workers in China prayed, and she was healed. Look at the radiant joy and the peace she has. Her brother-in-law or something had even more miraculous story. He was crippled and couldn't, you know, in bed for years. And the pastor went over, prayed. And then they see no result. They got tired. They went home. And this man woke up at night, you know, saw three person standing in front of him and told him, get up, stand up. So he stood up and he was healed. And he will walk, today he's walking the field. Little do we know all the three person were. Angels, all the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen, Jesus, right? Amen. This is just an example of our program is on an expose, rescue, and heal. And so when we expose the story and we rescue, literally giving $240 per family to encourage them to give baby girls, these are thousands of families have been able receiving that support and be able to keep their baby girls. So God is awesomely great. So when we go deeper with God, to saying, Lord, you know, this is a huge problem, not only take place in China, but also India and also around the world. But God said, "That's you only see a tip of iceberg for genocide. Look down. Underneath that is so much even more. That is the abortion, the abuse, abandonment, and other evils that's underpinning what led to the genocide on the top. Then, you know, what's underneath that is a broken view of a relationship between man and woman. That is really the curse. But underneath that is really Jesus Christ have died on the cross for us. So all the curses have been broken. We ought to live a powerful life that never had to have tears, never had to deal with abortion, never had to deal with abandonment, never had to deal with a genocide. Why we're not receiving that good news? That is because we need to go through another process. That is, after our salvation, we need to renew our mind by shedding all the pains and suffering, the worldviews we were conditioned to believe in a broken world, and to be transformed into the heavenly way. And so God wants us to not just heal the girls' mothers in China, He also wants us to receive the healing before we can heal even more. And so I share some of my stories with you that how I was sexually violated when I first came to the country. And that was one of the hardest things to really overcome, because there comes so much self-blame. I felt it was something I did wrong. And self-hating and this sense of powerlessness. But there is, God is here. He doesn't want to just evoke that feeling without give a solution to find His peace. So through the prayer ministry, I was able to go through the simple four steps, spreading my feeling, to go back to my memory, and then go back to where I'd look around, where Jesus was, and to replace all the lies that was embedded with me at that time with God's truth. It was through this journey. Sometimes it happens with a matter of weeks or months. Sometimes it can happen as quickly as half an hour, few minutes, and even few seconds. And God was able to set me free from those 22 years of pain and shame and silence. So that's what I want you to hear, that healing not only has been given to me and also to some other members of our team. And so Bryn Joy, who is our operation director for China, and Val, who is our director for media production, and Brian Lee is our executive director, and they will come over to share how God also healed them. And afterwards, I will introduce you our prayer ministers as well, who helped facilitating our encounter with God.
Good afternoon. I'm Joy, and I feel very honored to be here to share my story with you. I'm from China, and this is my third year in America. I was born as the only girl in my family, including my my father's family, including my own father. They prefer boys than girls. So my father doesn't like me just because I'm a girl. After I was born, no one from my father's family came to visit my mom and me, not even a letter or a phone call. So when I was very little, I already knew that my father didn't like me. He was very mean and careless to me. Most of my memories about my father were very dark. I remember he beat my mom to bleed, and I was so scared, so I ran to my neighbors for help. And when my mom left home for a business trip, I felt like I was an orphan. Even I had my father at home. He would cook me the same food every day, and he would never change my clothes. And later on, my father had affairs with a few other women. So my parents ended up with a divorce. But I was so relieved when I knew that I didn't need to stay in the same house with my father anymore. I felt like my mom rescued me from a demon, and I was that scared of my own father. And in the same year when my father left us, my grandparents on my mom's side passed away. So I have seen how my mom was almost collapsed after experiencing all of these disasters. It was very painful for her. My mom loves me very much, and I was her only hope and spiritual sustenance. She worked very hard to provide me a good life. However, she was a broken woman. She had her own anger, hatred, grievance, and bitterness. She needed to release all of these negative emotions. After losing her parents' husband, and I became the object of her emotional outlet. She blamed me for her miserable life, even her failed marriage. She's very easy to get angry. No matter who made her upset, I was always the one in trouble. My mom loves me the most, but she also hurts me the most. Actually, that's the same feeling I had toward her, because hurt people hurt. I loved her, but at the same time, I also hurt her a lot too. We were two broken souls, and we didn't know how to get out of a mess and a trauma instead of fighting with each other and hurting each other. Fortunately, there's a God. He's a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. And he heard our cries. He had called us three times to his home. When my parents got divorced, I was 10. When I was 11, I started to learn playing keyboard from a pastor's wife. She shared the gospel with my mom, but my mom didn't accept it. When I was 16, I taught a little girl keyboard, and her mom is a Christian. She shared the gospel with my mom again, but my mom refused it the second time. When I was 20, a Christian brother came to my home, and he shared the gospel with my mom and me. And this time, both of us, two lost and broken daughters, finally came into our father's home. Hallelujah. I have been an unconfident, gloomy, negative, and a bitter person. After I became a Christian, I was totally changed. I felt like the sunshine started to shine in my life. Most importantly, the relationship between my mom and me was greatly changed. We forgave each other, and we found the meaning and the hope in our lives. You may think that's the end of my story. Actually, I thought the same too. But Jesus had more surprises for me. After I became a Christian, my life was never going to be the same, that's for sure. However, I still had problems. I had a problem to sustain my relationship with my boyfriends. I always had the fear that my boyfriend would leave me. So I forced myself to not to fall into the relationship too much, because I wanted to make sure that I will dump them before they dump me. I have tasted... Yeah, that was me. I have tasted the feeling of being abandoned, so I don't want to ever go through that again. So after dumping a few nice Christian brothers without fair reasons, my church leaders started to notice my problem. And I remember one elder sister asked me, "So Joy, what's your problem? Why you act like a guy?" I'm sorry, brothers. I think she's affected by the TV and the movies. We are all sinners. anyway, the question brought me to deep thinking. I was like, wow, it's true. I have a problem. But I didn't know how to fix it. I just couldn't commit myself to a relationship, let alone marriage. So I decided to stop dating until my problem is fixed. I spent most of the time with Jesus. I asked Jesus to change my heart, to change the twisted image toward that I had for men. I also confessed my own sin for those Christian brothers who became the innocent victims of my past trauma. A year later, I went to Texas to study Christian education, and I met Jay there. Jay has great patience and love. Whenever he sensed that I had the tendency to go back to my old ways, and he always used the scripture or prayer to bring me back to the right path. And God has given him extra wisdom and grace to love me and deal with my problem. And praise Jesus, I didn't dump him this time. And we got married in August 2011. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. And in last few months, when I was in a healing session with my AGA team, the Holy Spirit was working in me and has healed me from the trauma that my mom has brought to me. At the end of the session, I asked Jesus, what about the trauma from my father? Because all of those during all of those weeks, I was dealing with all the traumas from my mom. And Jesus replied, I've given you a great husband and a great father-in-law. You've been healed a long time ago in the marriage. And my husband, Jay, he's managing our booth right now. So if you come to our booth and you see a very cute Chinese guy, looks like a Kung Fu Panda, then that's my husband. And Jay and I, we graduated this August, and a pastor introduced us to All Girls Aloud AGA. When I heard what AGA is doing, I felt like this is exactly what I want to do. I want to help those girls who are not loved just because they're girls. And I also want to comfort those mothers who are abandoned by their husband just because they gave birth of a baby girl. I want to share with them my own testimony and tell them that Jesus loves and Jesus heals. And in the process of serving, God has blessed me in so many ways. AGA is partnering with some great healing ministry people. Jesus has healed me from my past through them. Moreover, working at AGA, I needed to make a lot of phone calls to China and ask about the family's needs. Most of the time, I just listen to their stories, cry with them, use God's word to comfort them, and pray for them. In this ministry, I see how a broken family was restored by Jesus' love. I see how a baby girl was about to be aborted, but being saved and valued. When I'm observing these wonderful testimonies, I receive continual healing. Before entering this ministry, I thought I would give more than I gain. However, when I'm serving other people, Jesus is serving me. His grace is sufficient for me. Now I'm praying that the same healing will come to my parents and his children. At the end of my sharing, I want to echo Lynn's speech on Friday night. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was broken, but now I'm healed. All the glories be to our Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Val. I'm an InterVarsity alum from RIT, an Urbana alum from 06 and 09, and I worked for 2100 too, so I love InterVarsity. And way before that, when I was between the ages of 6 and 11, I was a victim of sexual abuse. And by the time I was in my early teens, I looked back and I understood that what I had been through was sexual abuse. And when I thought about it and I asked the Lord about it, I was really surprised to find in my heart that there was nothing but compassion and forgiveness for my abuser. When I thought about her, I didn't feel any rage or bitterness. I felt really sorry for her, and I was surprised and kind of confused about why I felt that way and why there wasn't any anger or bitterness there. But I understood that that's what had happened to me, and I thought, it's okay, I'll just press it down. I grew up in a really loving Christian home. But sexual sin is not something that we talked about. It's not something that any of my Christian friends talked about or any of my pastors talked about. So I didn't talk about it. And I just pushed it down. So for a very long time, you know, I grew up, you know, through my college years thinking, you know, this has no effect on my life. And it's kind of crazy that this had no effect on my life because I knew what had happened. And I thought, well, maybe it should be having an effect, but it's not. So I guess I just won't think about it. But, you know, as I look back, as I was growing up, I would do things in secret places where I thought that no one knew or no one that I cared about knew. Like, I was not kind to kids in my classes when I was in elementary school. I was kind of a bully. And, and so that was kind of a running theme is, like, when I thought that no one important or no one righteous was looking, I would act out of who I believe myself to be, which is inherently evil and dirty, because I had crossed that threshold of, you know, the number one sin that you just never do at age six. And so I thought that from then on, anything else I did, you know, that I was just inherently dirty, that there was just something wrong with me. And there's a lot that sexual abuse victims go through and thinking that it was their fault. And because mine was so systematic every week, and I never did anything to stop it, I thought that it was my fault. And so I took a lot of that on myself. And saw myself as someone who was hopeless. And that I could act really righteous, you know, and be really legalistic in my faith. And as long as no one knew the truth, then it was okay. So after I graduated, you know, when I was in a time of when I was on my own, you know, I'm fiercely independent. It was just going to be me and Jesus. And I wasn't going to let anything hold me back. And I fell in ways that I never thought that I would fall. And I fell into masturbation and pornography. And, you know, this is years and years after my abuse. I didn't make the connection right away. And even when I did, all I could do was sit on my bed and think, I will never tell anyone about this. No one can ever know that I've done this. And I was so ashamed and confused, really, as to why, of all things, like why this was something that I was struggling with, you know. And I was also confused as to why God was allowing me to struggle with this, you know. Like, I would fall, I would just feel so horrible and so ashamed. And I would try praying for it not to happen next time and for the strength to overcome. And I was confused as to why God didn't just heal me like that. And so I started getting angry and putting walls up between me and God. I still wasn't angry at my abuser. I wasn't angry at anyone else. I was angry at myself, and I was angry at God for not helping me more. And I just pressed it down, kept pressing it down. And I just, in my head, I thought, well, one day this won't be a problem for me, and just one day it'll magically go away, and it'll be okay. I don't have to tell anyone. No one ever has to know. So when I moved to Boston a few years ago, I came with this weight. And praise be to God, I found a church right away who is full of people my age, young families. It's in the middle of the Fenway in Boston, a really vibrant church plant full of the Holy Spirit. So one day I was in worship, and I was just weeping, and this was on my mind. It was weighing heavily on me. I was feeling worthless and not worthy to approach the throne of God, and confused. And I heard the Lord say to me, "Wouldn't you like me to help you?" I said, "Yeah, that'd be great. Can you help?" And he said, "Don't you know that my Holy Spirit is your helper?" And he reminded me of Scripture when it talks about the Holy Spirit being our helper and being the one who reveals truth. So I said, "Sure, God, I'll let the Holy Spirit, you know, into my life." And I made the decision to tell someone. So I approached a sister in my church and just poured my heart out to her and just cried and cried and was so afraid that she would reject me and just be shocked that I was struggling with this and that she wouldn't understand. But she didn't. She cried with me and she prayed with me. And she said it was okay. And she didn't reject me. And that was huge. And after that, slowly but surely, I started telling more people. I opened up to my best friend. I talked to my family about it. And before long, I had scheduled a meeting with this older woman from my church who had been trained in healing past trauma. So she took me through a time of confession and of allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and move and bring up areas in my life that I just really needed to submit to the Lord. And that was amazing. It was a time when I was really open and honest with the Lord, and he spoke his truth over me, and the Spirit moved really powerfully. And so I went back to work at AGA, and, you know, we've been exploring new methods of healing so that we can help these women who have gone through trauma and sexual abuse and forced abortions to heal. Because that's really intense trauma. And there's more that needs to be done than just sponsoring a baby shower gift for their child. You know, you need to go in and heal a lot of really, really rough things. So we wanted to become equipped ourselves, and we wanted to explore ways that we can help them. And so we had these prayer ministers come in to lead us into an encounter with Jesus through our imaginations. And sometimes he takes us back to memories, and sometimes he gives us just visions of himself, and it's always really, really therapeutic. And so I was in an encounter with Jesus, and he had taken me back to a time when, surprisingly, it wasn't, you know, to the place where I was abused, or it wasn't really vivid there. It was a place where I had been discovered in bullying someone when I was in elementary school. And all of the emotions came rushing back. I was ashamed. And I was still felt hopeless. You know, I was still struggling at that time as well. And, you know, healing is a process. It's not always a before and after. It's a process. And it's still something that I daily give up to Jesus and leave in his hands. So I was in this encounter with the Lord and feeling like I was worthless and inherently disposable and dirty and hopeless to change. And I gave those things to Jesus. I said, "Here's my hopelessness. Here's my inability to change myself." And I asked Jesus, "Is there anything that you'd like to give me in return?" And in return, he said that he gave me my innocence. There's lots of residual damage from sexual abuse. It's not always, "Oh, I need to be healed from this, you know, obvious thing." There's a lot that we believe about ourselves that are not true, like it's our fault or that there's something wrong with us. And Jesus wants to get in there and heal everything, and it's a process. Daily I'm finding more things that I need to give to Jesus that was affected by this that I had no idea. But he's faithful to do so. And the Bible says that God made him who had no sin to become sin for us, that we might be made into the righteousness of God. And I stand before you made into the righteousness of God because of what Jesus did. And so I know that if Jesus can meet me in this powerful way, if he can speak to me in a way that's so real that my whole heart knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that he loves me, and if he can heal Joy, and if he can heal Ling, he can heal Feng Jiamei, and he can heal those women in China who have gone through traumas that we can't even imagine. And that's why it gives me hope, having gone through this process myself, thinking that I was hopeless. Now I have hope that if Jesus can do this for me, he can do it for anyone. And he will do it, and he wants to. And so that's why I'm so excited about our work and what we're going to be bringing to these women in China. And I know that he can do it for each one of you as well. So thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Brian Lee, and I'm the executive director of All Girls Aloud. I served on InterVarsity staff for 4 years in Boston, so it's good to be back here. I want to speak to the men in the room, the brothers in the room. Some of you may have experienced trauma similar to what has been described. Statistics show that young boys suffer similar rates of sexual abuse as young girls. So definitely don't want to discount that. I do want to speak, though, to the majority of you men in the room about pornography and premarital sex. I could do a straw poll and have you guys raise your hands to find out who's addicted to pornography, who has looked at pornography in the last month. But I know from my time on campus working with students that 9 out of 10 of you is addicted to porn. 9 out of 10 of you can't resist going to your computer screen or to that magazine. Some of you have come here and wondered why we're talking about this when we're talking about ending genocide in China. But me, as someone who has come out of addiction to pornography, I can say that this is very much related. They're linked hand in hand. When Ling was talking about Genesis 3 and the curse, that the man will rule over the woman, that's exactly what we're trying to do when we're looking at porn. I want to challenge the men in this room that before you think about saving the rest of the world, consider allowing the Lord to save you, to free you from this captivity. I remember when I was stuck and asking and trying to defeat this addiction, Satan would get the double victory. The first victory, sin. But the second victory, separation from the Lord. This is a very serious issue, and it's epidemic. How can we, as followers of Christ, allow this to come in? Consider this. Where do you think the women are? Women on your screen, where do you think they came from? What kind of backgrounds do they have? What kind of trauma do you think they may have suffered? Or how about in China, where there are millions of girls abandoned on the streets every year? Those who are lucky enough to make it into the orphanages, what happens when they graduate and they're too old to stay? But even those who don't make it that far, what happens to them? See, I think we know the answers to these questions, and so I would invite all of my brothers here, allow the Holy Spirit in, and not only that, bring this to the light. The Apostle James says if we can confess our sins to each other, we can be healed. That's what we must do. I encourage you at Urbana to begin that process with your roommates, with your friends. Find a brother. Pray with them. Begin that process of healing. And we have to encounter the Lord directly. It can't just be about rules and regulations. though there are good tools, but ultimately we need the power of the Spirit. And that's what saved me, ultimately, was allowing the Spirit to overwhelm me, and He has freed me from that temptation. Now, I also want to talk very briefly about premarital sex. I know this is a big problem on campus as well, and that the rates for evangelical youth are pretty high for premarital sex, studies done by the National Association of Evangelicals. Now, from my own testimony, I remember it was, yes, partly out of lust, that desire, that physical desire, but it was also partly out of living out that Genesis 3 curse. I lied to myself, or rather Satan lied to me through my thoughts, saying, you're loving your girlfriend this way. This is your way to love her. But actually, what I was doing was declaring my dominion over her. Brothers, you don't have any right to touch your sisters. And we need to take that initiative, that authority, as the head of the household. We are meant to protect our wives, our sisters, not to rule over them. That's what Jesus came to do, to reverse that curse. And we live in the Ephesians 5 reality that we are to die for her just as Jesus died for His church and wash her through the Word. And so I just want to encourage all of us, brothers in the room, to really look deep inside today and consider how can we begin to end gendercide in our own lives, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our behavior towards our sisters. And then we'll be ready and equipped to end gendercide in China and around the world. Thank you.
These are really, really tough stuff, isn't it? We're now just going to try to do something great out there. We're going to have to do something great here. I know it's difficult, but God is here. He's with every single one of us. And you're His precious possessions. And that's why He sacrificed His very own Son for each and every one of you. As well said, He who is without sin had died for us so we can be made righteousness. So I declare, in the name of Jesus, every single one of you sitting here, standing here, has been made righteousness in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. How do we receive that righteousness? How do we put on the garment of praise from God? There's a very simple way. That is in 1 John 5. This is a message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him, there's no darkness at all. So, how do we do that? Because God is light. If we still hide somewhere, thinking our little secret, our little shame, our little sin, all the hurts, the pain, that cannot be known by others, cannot be seen by others, can we still have fellowship with God? Can we have His righteousness? As you heard, every single one of our testimonies is only when we courageously and bring the issues that hurt us, sins we committed, into the light, we're made righteousness. And that's why we're here. In the next few minutes, we will have a prayer time so you can bring whatever hurts you in your heart into God. Bring the lightness with God. And we have our prayer ministers here, both from the InterVarsity side and also from the folks who helped us, and here to willing to receive you if you want to come to meet with us. Yesterday when we had the seminar, there are 6 to 10 people receive amazing healing. Let me just give you a few examples. We don't know their name and identity because we don't want to know, but I know one person was sexually abused and also had abortion. When she received healing, the first thing she went to heaven and saw was her baby. And now the young man came in, was very confused and sexually angry. And through the prayer time with God, and he was able to relax and saw the smile of God's face. Do you want that? I want that. I think there was a third person came in. She doesn't even know. It's like, I don't even know why I come here. Ling sent me up there. She said, so much stuff coming. I only have 15 minutes. But God can do with 15 minutes amazing things. So our healer prayer minister went the roller coaster. Was like, okay, let's go quickly. Let's go slow. Let's go quickly. Let's go slow. And within 15 minutes, her pains when she came in was started at 10. By the time she left, it was zero. So God can do that. Before we do that, I want to make a few amen. Amen, right? We're going to have that. We're going to receive that. We're going to receive that. So before we go into that, I want to break some chains here. I want to declare freedom for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the precious blood of Jesus who has sacrificed for you, we declare the spirit of death and abortion are gone. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Whoever had that, God, you're setting them free right now by the righteousness of Jesus and by your love. Father, we also pray for anyone who part of masturbation or premarital relationship. Father, we declare that is gone. That addiction, that attraction, that bondage is completely gone and set free. In Jesus' name, we pray. Father, we also pray and for anyone who is addicted to pornography, both man and woman, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray. They're set free and all those sins are gone and these children, sons and daughters are yours in full purity and full righteousness. Father, in Jesus' name, that all the feeling we felt, shame, humiliation, pain, and anger, and fear, in Jesus' awesome name and the blood that you shed for us, we declare that all gone. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Father. We just pray that as we come to worship you and through our imaginations, you meet every one of us. And through us, give us the feeling, how we feel about it, and go back to our youngest, the earliest memory, when we felt that, you know, in our 20s, and 15, 5, or 3. Go back to the root where the injury started happening, where we felt that feeling of shame, hurt, pain, powerlessness, fear. Take us to that place. And Father, I pray for you to open our imagination for all of us here, your son and daughters, to see you. Answer our question, where were you, Father? Where were you, Jesus? And Father, I also pray for you to reveal to us the lies that really bothers us, make us feel that we are dirty, we are shameful, nobody will ever love us, you will not love us, we're not worthy, any feelings like that. I pray that you will come to speak to us. Let us to give you that box off those feelings of shame, hurt, and condemnation, pain, and give back to you, Jesus, and you will give back us your truth, as the truth you gave back to Sister Val, that her innocence, as the truth you gave back to Sister Joy, her chubby and husband, and her complete healing. As the truth you restored to Brian, is he is a most gorgeous, awesome, powerful, and pure son of the most mighty King. And he can continue to lead ministry and lead others to the Lord and have one and lead her, his own household, and be an awesome father soon to receive his first baby. So Jesus, may you come. Come. So thank you, Jesus. In your sweet name we pray. Amen. So now, Greg and, I don't know, Rose here. Rose, music? Okay, good. Thank you. So we have some of the healer prayer ministers out there. In the back is John. And Rose is waving her hand, and Tara, and Greg's here. There's David somewhere. David? Okay. David is there in the back. And we also have in a varsity prayer team. Where are you standing? Where are you sitting? In a varsity team? Okay. In the back. You can also go with that. There are awesome intercessors here. And the whole place is sealed, and the demons cannot come in to harm you. So feel safe and rest and enjoy your meeting with God.
I love the faith and childlike nature of this Ling, who's like a commander in chief. And I love the team. I'm just thankful that just through their lives, they're pushing back the evils of gendercide. And even through their healing testimonies, they're pushing it back today. And that God is equipping us to be bring this healing, not only to ourselves and those around us here, but into China and into India, as they said. And so she asked me just to come up and share one of the tools that we shared with the team that helped them, and that one of the tools that they'll take into China. And it's just a tool of using our imaginations and our minds to encounter the Lord. And so if you care to today, you can enter into that. It's not something you have to, but you can at least listen and see if it's something that you'd be open to trying for yourself with the Lord and helping other people enter in who need to encounter Him. In Romans 12:1, it says, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our minds need to be renewed. It's a place where He meets us. It's actually our minds were created to be a place of encounter with Him. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, He says, not at the things which are seen. Don't look at those things. He says, look at the things which are not seen. The things which are eternal. How can we look at things that are not seen? You ever thought about that? I mean, we can't see them with our eyes. So how do we see those? We see those with, Paul says, the eyes of our heart. In Ephesians 1:18, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So we have eyes, and they work. But if they're in the dark, they don't see anything. When you turn out these lights, we're not going to see anything with your natural eyes. If there's not light of God in there, then we don't see it. But the great thing about being a believer is that the Holy Spirit has come in, and He is light. And so our eyes are enlightened, and they can be further enlightened just as we focus and allow Him to meet us. So that the tool is basically an imagination, using your imagination mind, just consecrating it to the Lord and saying, it's like, I'm going to actually just read some scriptures to you. I'm just going to read some scriptures out of Psalm 23, just a couple minutes. And if you want, I'll just ask you to close your eyes and just go somewhere with the Lord. Look at the scriptures as just a diving board. A platform diving board or something like that, where you just, the scripture is just a place to dive off into a pool. And actually, when you dive into God's pool, it's not just a pool, it's like a huge old ocean of creative power. And the way He meets you, it's amazing. I've seen Him meet people on, you know, the changing table when they were a little baby. I've seen Him meet them in the memories like what they were sharing over here. It's just, He is so creative. He can take you to a star somewhere in the galaxy. It can take you to heaven. As He didn't show them their baby yesterday that was aborted. I mean, He's just so creative. We just don't want to limit Him. That's the one thing we don't want to do. We all always go by the guidelines of Scripture, of course. But He's so safe. And so when we give ourselves to Him, He's ready to meet us. So if you're able and you want to, I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes, and I'll lead you in a short prayer just to consecrate that imagination which is created by God. We can use our imaginations in a wrong way. As Brian was mentioning that a lot of us as men have done, or we could use it in a positive way. And so this is just a way to encounter God. It's a place. So if you care to, you can say this prayer in your heart. You can say it out loud quietly, or you can not say it at all. It's up to you. But God, thank You for creating my mind and my imagination as a place to encounter You through the Holy Spirit. I consecrate my imagination right now and ask that You would cleanse it from any defilement by the blood of Jesus. And now with your eyes closed, if you just want to stay there with the Lord, I'm going to read out of Psalm 23. I just encourage you to see yourself there with Him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You do prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, as we close this time today, if there's anything else that you want to speak or show, we ask that you would say that to our hearts right now, and that you would enlighten our eyes to see what it is you have for us today, right now in this moment.
Thank you guys for going through that spiritual exercise with us. That is one tool among many, but one tool that we found very effective to leading to a direct and specific encounter with the Lord. Now, here at Urbana, we're very privileged to have a good number, over 100 prayer ministers trained by InterVarsity specifically for this purpose. They have been trained in this particular tool in addition to others. We would like to invite you at the conclusion of this seminar to join with others at the Urbana Prayer Ministry Room. We also, as Ling said, there's a handful of us here on site for those of you who will need direct prayer immediately. There's also, I'm going to put on the screen just some more resources if you'd like to begin this healing journey in your lives. We understand that there's a lot that may have been uncovered today, and so we encourage you, this is just the beginning. There's lots of great resources out there. Of course, the most significant one is your scriptures, and you have the community of God around you. So I'd like to invite Peggy Enderle from InterVarsity's prayer ministry team to come up, and she's going to close our time.
I just want to thank Ling and all the testimonies and what courage and boldness and risk to be so vulnerable from up here. I'm guessing that a lot of you, when you came to Urbana, you didn't know you were coming to a healing conference. You thought you were coming to a missions conference. And as I've been in ministry over the years, I found that often when God does a work of healing in my life, he actually uses that healing to unleash a new ministry or a new way for me to do his mission. So I believe that inner healing and mission go hand in hand. In Chinese culture, there's a saying or a phrase called swallowing bitterness. And it's a phrase to describe the way in which we often deal with our suffering. And that because often we feel like there's nothing we can do about it, we just have to hold it inside. We just have to swallow this difficult thing and keep it inside. And I just want to encourage you, because at Urbana, our theme is the great invitation. And God is inviting you to the banquet. We've been seeing the drama just kind of illustrate this banquet and feast God is inviting us to. And at the same time, if we're swallowing bitterness or if we swallow bitterness, all we're going to taste, even if God is offering us and inviting us to something, is bitterness. It's going to go over the food that he wants us to have. So as we encourage you to go to prayer ministry, kind of the purpose of prayer ministry is for God to draw that bitterness out so that you can savor God's goodness and really taste what it's supposed to taste like. And so really encourage you, if you want to seek prayer ministry here with some of the ministers that are here. Otherwise, the America Center, room 130, we also have prayer ministry all afternoon tomorrow from 1 to 6. So if you can't make it today for some reason, please come tomorrow. And there's no seminar, so that could be a good time for you guys to come. And so let me just pray to close us as I bless and send you guys on your way. Jesus, I thank you for starting something here. And God, we recognize that sometimes it's a process, but we thank you that you are a God that brings processes to conclusion, that you don't start something and you're just going to leave all the loose ends hanging, but you're going to take us through a process, and your promise to us is that you're going to tie up all the loose ends so we can feel whole. So, Jesus, I just pray that you lead each person as they need to go to prayer ministry, to prayer ministers, to confess something for the first time to a friend. You lead that as you keep starting and you bring us through. And Lord, I thank you that you are gentle and compassionate. And that's often how you deal with us. So I thank you for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.